Nice to see you here. My name is Nina Ormshaw. I'm the International Coordinator for the Faculty of Information Technology. And as my colleague Laura said earlier, there will be an International Coordinator for each of you in your own department or your faculty. I'll say a few words about how we study here. Obviously, it's early doors. You've just arrived and you've just received your user details, etc. But some of this will be lost by you. But as Laura said, these slides will also be on the orientation program online very shortly. What I will speak about very briefly is how to plan your studies during your stay here, how to register for the courses, how do you study the courses, as in what modes of study or teaching we use. Also, a few words about written assignments, exams, assessment and grades, because all these things vary a little bit. They're not the same as in your home institution, even if they might be very similar. Obviously, there's also support and guidance for you all through your stay, so don't be left alone with your questions. There's always somebody to ask. I thought I'll just give you a brief glimpse about the degree system in Finland. There may be a lot of master's degree students there, and unfortunately, we call you undergraduate students here in Jyväskylä and Finland. Even though we have fully embraced the Bologna process, we have the bachelor's, master's and doctoral level studies. We still hang on to this odd idea of a basic student, which we call bachelor's and master's degree students. So just don't be confused if you're being told that you're an undergraduate student, even if you're a master's student. Bachelor's degree is a three-year degree here, and a master's degree is a two-year degree. And some of you master's degree students might even want to come here and study your PhD. So doctoral degree is about 4 years in Finland. The ECTS credits are familiar to all European students. It's the European credit transfer system. Some of you are not from a European education background, so one ECTS credit means 27 hours of work. And that includes all work. It includes all the lectures, it includes all the assignments or exams or anything. All the learning that is done. Most of our courses are 5-credit bearing courses. So it's just 5 times 27 hours. That will give you an idea of the workload. Obviously, that also means then that one academic year is 60 credits, and as you're here for just one semester, you are supposed to take about 30 credits worth of studies. The academic calendar for this semester, the teaching starts next week, and the first period of the spring, we have the academic year split into 4 periods. In the autumn, there's first and second period, and in the springtime, spring semester is split into the third and the fourth period. Some faculties, some departments don't really use the periodical system, so that the courses might extend throughout the whole semester or be shorter. Some faculties do use this quite rigorously, like the Faculty of Information Technology. the vast majority of all our courses extend over just one period. Then they finish and another set of courses start. But it varies from faculty to faculty. For those, especially Erasmus students, who will be informing their home universities when your studies here end, well, the academic year finishes on the 19th of May. Well, teaching and exams should finish by then. So this is information that you will need for your grant purposes. Obviously, there may be some exams that take place after the period and the academic semester is over, but in that case, you need to discuss with the teacher so that you can do all your work before that. As I said, 30 credits is the expected outcome of this semester. And you can choose your courses from your own department or your faculty, from the Language Centre, and also other departments and faculties across the university. Obviously, there are restrictions. You can't just choose anything, but you need to look into the prerequisite knowledge of the particular course or the level of the particular course and the language, of course, as well. I often get a question from our exchange students asking, what do I have to do? What do I need to do? I can't tell you, or the international coordinator at the uvascular end can't tell you what you need to do. So it's your home university that might have some requirements. Some of your universities may be very flexible. It doesn't matter what you do here as long as you bring some credits home. Some of your home universities may be very particular and say you need to have this kind of content in your studies. It's up to you to know whether there are such requirements. Also, while you're here, for example, we have a great language centre, so you might want to start to learn a new language or do some Finnish cultural studies or something like that. So make sure that you get something different out of this period as well. All of you have signed a initial learning agreement when you applied here in the first instance. That was the list of courses that you wanted to study when you came here. That may change a little bit depending on the courses, whether they've been delivered, whether the schedules are right for in mixing and matching those courses that you've chosen. That's okay. It's normal. For Erasmus students, you are required to do changes to the original learning agreement. I would very strongly recommend that you do this only when you've been successfully registered on all those courses. There's no point of doing it over and over and over again. When you choose another set of courses, then you realize that these courses are full. Okay, actually, I can't take that course. Then you come to me and we sign it again and send it to your home university. That's just taking a lot of time and energy from all of us. So when you have the set of courses that you definitely know that you can do, you've registered on them, then do the changes to the learning agreement. Okay, the question was that whether the courses were signed for both periods or separately. The courses are signed for the whole semester. So although the courses run maybe through one period of the semester, but the learning agreement is for the full semester. You will have all looked into the great big list of faculties or departments where you can find all the courses delivered in English. That is your best frame of reference where to find those courses that you want. All our courses in the whole university are also in the Korppi system, which you will have had your user details this morning. It will literally have all our courses, and all their titles are also in English when you go and click the English version of the system. It doesn't mean that all our courses are delivered in English. So you need to be aware which courses are delivered in English. And always check the language of the instruction and language of completion, because some courses may be delivered in Finnish. There's lectures, you can see there's lecture times and lecturers and lecture rooms, everything there. But if the language of instruction is Finnish, those lectures will be delivered in Finnish. And obviously you can't take them and you won't be expected to take them. But if the language of completion is English, then there is some alternative ways of completing the course, and then you will not go to those lectures. There are also some subject-specific restrictions. For example, the Jyväskylä School of Business and Economics. The basic level, as in the first year level, a bachelor's level, studies are open to all of you. But intermediate and master's level courses are not. All this information is online through that page and through the departmental pages. So that that information is not available in Korppi, but on the website, which you have all seen before. The course code also gives you a lot of information. The three digits that the course also always has will give you an idea of the subject that it belongs to. For example, PSY is for psychology. The fourth digit is the most important digit, which gives you the actual level of study. So if it is a P, it means it's a first year basic level, bachelor's level study. If it's an A, it's an intermediate, sort of second, third year. And if it's an S, it's a master's level course. The vast majority of our courses in the University of Jyväskylä are delivered at master's level in English. It doesn't mean that you can't take them, but you have to be careful with your own course selection that you have the prerequisite knowledge that the course description will give you. And registration for all courses is done through Korppi. Korppi will have the course description. It will have you. It will give you all the registration dates, deadlines, exam dates, lecture times. If you've got any demos or anything like that, you always register on Korppi to all your courses. But also, if you decide not to take the course, please remove your registration. So, Korppi. Korppi means Raven, and it is a multipurpose study data system that actually some of our students in the Faculty of Information Technology developed about 20 years ago. We are moving away from it very shortly, but currently we're still using it, and everything related to your studies happens in there. There's also a transcript of records, an official one, always visible for you there. So if you've completed any courses and you've got your grades from those, you can see your transcript of records on Korppi at all times. This is how it looks. And You can search courses by a faculty, or you can search courses by language of the course, for example. This is not always very reliable. So if this isn't in line, the language detail here isn't in line with the list of courses that you see on the International Office website, you might want to ask from the international coordinator of the faculty. Then about modes of study, there's a lot of information on the university website on the study part about modes of study. But really what I want to say is that they vary from faculty to faculty and from department to department. So in one department you might have mainly lectures and seminars, and in one department you would have mostly independent work with book exams and essays. Some of you may have not encountered a thing like a learning diary, maybe. If these completion modes or study modes are not familiar to you, just ask your teacher. They will explain what they mean. And it may vary from department to department what the sort of content of a learning diary, for example, might look like. Just talk to your teachers and they will advise you. As I said, all courses need to be registered on Korppi, and also some courses will have a confirmation of registration, and if you don't do that confirming, you will be thrown out of that course. But it will always be, the details are there, whether this will be required or not. My advice is, do not miss the first lecture of any course. If you do miss it, then make sure you talk to the teacher and find out what was said at the first lecture. We have this thing called academic freedom, and a lot of our teachers can modify their teaching. For example, they might ask you, so what do you think? Shall we have an essay or an exam? In Korppi course description, it says that the completion mode, as in the assessment, is an exam. And you think, okay, it's an exam, fine. But on the first lecture, the teacher may have asked you whether you'd rather have an exam or an essay. And the class decides that we'll actually have an essay. So if you don't find out what the assessment for it is that was decided on the first lecture, you don't know what the assessment is. We often don't repeat things. It's sort of assumed that when you've been told something once, you know that. We don't have to get back to it. But it's your responsibility to find out. We also have another queer thing. We have this thing called academic hour, which means that some of your classes will start at on the hour, like 2 p.m., 1400 hours. But if it's set like just 14, it means 2 p.m., but it's actually quarter past 2. So most of your lectures will actually start quarter past. But you always need to check what is the case in that, on that course. Attendance also varies, so we don't have a university-wide policy on attendance requirements. So it depends on the teacher and on the class that you're taking. So you need to find out and make sure that you are aware with each course whether there is an attendance requirement. Then just a few words about written assignments. Some of you might encounter a lot of these, and some of you might not encounter any or some. But just to give you a heads up that there are very big cultural differences on the structure and style, and especially referencing style, of any written text. You need to be aware how your background affects your writing in this setting. And of course you will have help with that. And also there are differences in the submission. We don't, again, have a university-wide policy on how assignments are submitted. It may depend on the preferences of the individual teacher. Some might want them on email, quite casually. Some might want them on paper. Some are submitted to one of our learning environments electronically. It varies. In some cultures, for example, talking on an exam is not that dangerous. Here, talking on an exam situation is punishable. It's fraud. It's cheating. And you will be asked to leave the exam room. So whenever you go to an exam, make sure that you keep to yourself and no chatting. Copying an assignment and sharing your work with other students, this is pretty universal. You don't do that, do you? You learn your stuff, and then all your friends will have to learn that too. That's okay. Plagiarism is something that we do encounter quite frequently, and mostly it's because of misunderstandings. We are very, very particular about referencing. So if you're writing anything that you're referring to somebody else's text, whether it's summarizing or whether it's paraphrasing or whether it's a translation or whatever, you always need to be very careful to state who has said it and where, on what page. If you do that, you can write whatever you want. But if you don't reference who was the original person to say that, you might be accused about plagiarism. So, again, there's a link to the JYU Code of Conduct for Preventing and Dealing with Academic Fraud and Plagiarism. If you're at all uncertain what that might mean to you, please go and have a look. Then about exams. we have different names for different kinds of exams. We have lecture exams, book exams, and general exams, and also in some cases e-exams. What a lecture exam means is that at the end of most courses, you will have an exam to exam and assess those matters learned throughout that course. It's a part of that course and usually scheduled to be sort of within the course schedule. You also have to register for the course as you register for the lectures on Korppi. There's a slight chance that you will not be here for all exams, especially if you decide to go on a trip to St. Petersburg or Lapland or whatever. And if it coincides with an exam, please talk to your teacher in advance. One of the good things about us having this academic freedom is that we can be quite flexible with assessment, for example. Some of you might come from universities where you can only do exams on certain days, and if you miss that, you might have to wait for half a year. It's not the case here, so you can just ask and negotiate. A book exam is a particular kind of exam, and it can be just a part of the course. It means that you do a course, you sit through the lectures, and then at the end of it is not a course exam, but a book exam. And that means that throughout the course you've been reading maybe 1 to 3 textbooks on the matter, and then you go and have a book exam on those books. That can also be the only method of learning. So as I said earlier, there are some courses that will have the lectures, for example, only in Finnish, or no lectures at all. In that case, the completion mode is book exam, and it means that you literally just read those books that are given to you, and then you go and be assessed on those books. Book exams always take place on general examination dates, and they are faculty specific. All faculties will have their general exam dates, and at least once per month. The general exam lasts 4 hours. On the general exam, this may be very different from what you're used to in your home university. Every faculty will have lists of what courses and what books you can be assessed on each day. So, for example, not all courses can be assessed on all examination dates. Registration is always through Korppi, and the deadlines vary a little bit, but they're from 1 to 2 weeks usually. And late registrations are not accepted. If you do register for a general exam day and you fall ill or you happen to be on your travels or whatever, cancel it. Please do cancel it. If you don't cancel it, it will eat up one of your assessment times, and it will also deliver a lot of work for nothing for the staff at this end. The departmental secretaries will have to prepare and organize all those questions. You might be literally the only one taking that particular exam on that date. So the secretary will be doing their work to make that happen, and the teacher will have to prepare the questions and do the exam for you. And then you don't show up, it's all gone to waste. And when on the day when you have registered for the exam, this is, for example, one of the very common assessment rooms, there will be a roll call outside. They will call your name. They will say, "Om Shaw," and then give you an envelope. And in that envelope is your exam. You go and have a seat in the room, only when you're told you can open the envelope and start the exam. You're also not allowed to leave the room within the first half an hour, but you are allowed in late if nobody has not left so far. Also, no mobile phones on the exams, absolutely none. And that will be a fraud, and you will be taken out of the exam room if you're found out with a phone or anything extra in your assessment situation. You need to leave your back at the side and just have the writing equipment with you and nothing else. Unless there's a specific instruction that you can take, for example, a dictionary with you. Also, bring your ID with you to the exams each time. There are also some exams that are on our e-exam database, and you can register on the e-exam system and take them. You can book a time that suits you to go and take the exam. This is not available for all courses, but if it says that this will be available, then you can do it sort of in a more flexible way. Also, we always give the chance to take a reassessment. So if you fail your assessment or if you fall ill, you can always take another assessment, another exam. But for some subjects, there may be a lot of reading to do. There are some course books in the library that cover all the compulsory reading, but there are only so many in the library. So if you do know that you've got exams coming up, please reserve your books in the library in advance. Plan a bit ahead. Assessment and grades. We have 1 to 5 scale. And as I said, you always will have a chance for reassessment. The grades do follow the ECTS grading from A to E. And some of your courses may have a pass-fail grading. In that case, if it is an issue that you can't take that to your home university, talk to the teacher directly. Again, if you fail an assessment, talk to the teacher responsible for the course before you leave the country. There's always ways to make it work for you. We don't do normal distribution, so a lot of you might come from a university where students are strictly ranked, and, for example, not all students can get the best result, but they are ranked accordingly. We don't do that, and we don't actually, we can't give you a ranking of how manyth you were in the class. How well did you do in relation to the others? We don't have university level assessment criteria either. They are all departmental and faculty level. In some countries, the credits and grades have some sort of relationship, but we don't. The credits are always the same, and if you do a 5-credit course here, it will be 5-credit course no matter your grade is. The results are always published within 2 weeks of the assessment date, and they will appear in Korppi. If you want an automatic notice to your email, you can order one from Korppi. Very simple. After you have done your studies here, you will be sent a transcript of records which will show the full extent of your studies here. The transcript will have the credits that you've gained, the titles of the courses, and also the level of study, which many of the universities, even in Europe, don't actually have. The transcript will never include courses that you have not completed or you have failed. So even if you have in your learning agreement a course X and you didn't pass it, or you actually simply decided that I'm not doing this, it will not be shown anywhere to your home home university. And the official signed and stamped transcript and your letter of confirmation, which all Erasmus students will need, will be sent to your home address after you leave. So you just need to fill in your departure details on Mobility Online before you leave. If there are some courses that are missing, because sometimes your assessment might have been late in the day and it's the transcript has been sent to you before that's actually gone to the system, no worries. You just need to contact your international coordinator, let them know which course it is, and they will send you another transcript. The whole university staff and your tutors are here for you. So ask, and there will be a session for you on cultural differences as well, slightly later. But we have very, very informal and non-hierarchical student-teacher relationships. We expect you to talk directly to all our professors, even the dean, anybody. We don't have that hierarchy that you're only a student, you shouldn't be talking to that or that ranking people. We're all here for you. So if you have a question, ask anybody. However, I'll just go actually here. There are certain people who are more easily available for you and who can answer your questions best. So the international coordinators, me and my colleagues, we will be there for you, for example, with your learning agreements, or can I take this course or not, or this says this here in Korppi, but it says that on the website, which should I believe, or anything like that. We're there for you. But then there's the course teachers. So whether it's a PhD student or a well-known, respected professor giving the lecture and who's the responsible teacher for that course, that person is the person who will be best approached if you have anything course-specific to ask. Like, for example, what is the assignment for this course? What is a learning diary? Is there a attendance requirement? Or why did you give me a 2 instead of a 5 for a grade? All these questions are for that particular course teacher. Then there's also faculty and departmental administrators, and, for example, study secretaries in each department or faculty are those who do your exam arrangements. So, for example, if you have a situation that you are actually registered for 2 exams on the same day, a general exam date, and you're doing a business course and an IT course on the same day at the same time, but the actual exam is in 2 different locations. Unfortunately, there is only one of you, so you can't then split into 2 places. But if you contact the departmental secretary well in advance and tell them about your situation, they can arrange those exams to be in the same location so you can actually do them. So everything's possible if you just ask. Then there's obviously the international office who will be able to help you with all the general matters. And I think now all faculties and departments have their study guides online. There's a lot of useful information there, so keep that as a reference point. And obviously your tutors and subject associations, other students, so just ask. Although my colleague has just arrived here, who will talk you through a bit more of the cultural aspects of your stay here. But as I said earlier, we're very non-hierarchical, so we call each other by the first name. We don't really call our professors Professor that and that, but it's just Ture or Vili or whoever. You will see some of our professors even wearing their tracksuit bottoms and slippers during their classes. It's normal. It doesn't mean that there's a lack of respect either way, but it's just a more easily approachable situation, maybe. As I have referred to the academic freedom, you are now in charge of your own learning here. In your home university, there may be some policies or practices where you will be reminded about assignments and exams, and kind of the teachers might push you a little bit and say, well, have you done now? Have you done a part of your portfolio or whatever? We don't really do that. We expect you to be adults and in charge of your own learning. And with that comes the flexibility as well. As I said, we can be flexible whenever you ask and make arrangements beforehand. And with the academic freedom comes with the responsibility. So you are responsible for your learning and knowing all the deadlines and doing things when they should be done. The degree regulations are there for you and your safety as well. So there's a link to those. Those will the degree regulations will have information about everything on the study here, on assessment. For example, the times that teachers are required to give you the grades, etc. So you can always refer to that if you have any vital questions. And keep informed. We use email lists for all sorts of matters. That's the most important form of contacting you. So as Laura said earlier, keep your email always up to date on Korppi, because all our circulation lists rely on those details on Korppi. There are some faculty or departmental level circulation lists that you are automatically added to. Don't be alarmed if those emails come to you in Finnish only. It doesn't matter, because those emails address every single student in that faculty. So it may be that it may be valid information for you, or it may not. If it is, it's translated into English at the end of the message. Or if it's very important, it's usually probably sent to you via another list. Also on Facebook, you can find ESN, IDESCO, and the rest of your peers. That was it. So I think we have exactly 1 minute for any questions. Anything? There at the back. Do you mean the Erasmus Global or the credit transfer? Yes, if you are an Erasmus student but you're not from a European university, it doesn't matter what your citizenship is, but if you're not from a European university, then it does apply. Yes. Talk to Laura and go to that session. You register on those courses when you get to the system. You only received your user details this morning, am I right? So when you do get a time, and also your tutors will be able to help you with that. So maybe discuss it with your tutor when is the good time to register. You can start registering for certain courses straight away. But as Laura said, that please, please, please do remember to go and change your password before you go and register to any courses, because you'll be locked out. Sorry? I the question was whether you can make a course change. Of course you can. Just find out from your home university and the international coordinator here whether the course changes are okay, and it's fine. Well, how can you change your course? You haven't actually registered on any courses yet. So from our perspective, you've not chosen any courses so far. So you just simply register for those courses that you want to take. Sorry, I can't hear you now. There are special arrangements for different kind of learning difficulties, etc. Always talk to the departmental. There are departmental coordinators for any difficulties, so talk to them and you will have separate arrangements for any exams or assignments. There can be like maybe longer time to do it or private room where to do an exam, etc. I think we've just about done with the time, so I wish you all very much welcome to Finland and enjoy the snow and cold. Thank you.